Discernment. How to See, How to Hear by Richard Rohr. They look without seeing. They listen without hearing or understanding. So I must teach them in a parabolic way. Matthew chapter 13, verse 13. All the Christian churches are being forced to an inevitable, honest, and somewhat humiliating conclusion. The vast majority of Christian ministry has been concerned with churching people into symbolic, restful, and usually ethnic belonging systems rather than any real spiritual transformation into the mystery of God. After serving as a priest for over 30 years, working with church groups of every kind on all continents as both personal confessor and as consultant for dioceses, monasteries, religious superiors, parishes, many different denominations, and every kind of renewal program for the laity, I am convinced that most of our ministries have legitimated the autonomous self and even fortified it with all kinds of religious armor. Religious people are even harder to transform because they don't think they need it. They are Catholics. I find much more openness and response at the county jail than among the typical group of churchgoers. The incarcerated know that the separate self has not served them well. One wonders if this typical religious intransigence is not what Jesus is referring to by the sin against the Holy Spirit. Much of what is called Christianity has more to do with disguising the ego behind the screen of religion and culture than any real movement toward a God beyond the small self and a new self in God. Much of our work feels like cosmetic piety, and often shame or fear-based at that, rather than any real transformation of the ego self, or what the Eastern churches rightly call divinization. Much of the present attraction to other religions is quite simply because Christianity has not succeeded in naming the real evils well. Does this need any proof after the last century in Christian Europe? There are few confessors who would not agree that the vast majority of Catholic confessions have to do with pragmatic problem-solving and supposed sins that divert our attention from the real evils that are destroying Western society. The present practice actually trivializes the immensity and urgency of our moral need. We cannot be quiet about this any longer to protect the institution. Nor was Jesus. "You blind guides, you strain out the gnat and swallow the camel." Matthew chapter 23, verse 24. The moral issues and the divisionary tactics of the ego never seem to change. Only today, I came across this courageous quote from Thomas Merton, written in 1956, and it told me that my perceptions are not just mine or not just now. In The Living Bread, Merton wrote, "The great tragedy of our age is the fact, if one may dare to say it, that there are so many godless Christians. Christians, that is, whose religion is a matter of pure conformism and expediency. Their faith is little more than a permanent evasion of reality, a compromise with life. In order to avoid admitting the uncomfortable truth that they no longer have any real need for God or any vital faith in Him, they conform to the outward conduct of others like themselves. And these believers cling together, offering one another an apparent justification for lives that are essentially the same as the lives of their materialistic neighbors, whose horizons are purely those of the world and its transient values." The Enneagram has emerged as a tool that is forcing many of us to a brutal and converting honesty about good and evil and the ways that we hide from ourselves and therefore hide from God. It tries to address this compromise with life and this evasion of reality that the ego is so invested in and that religion often promotes. Thomas Merton was a true seer, in my opinion. Another contemporary seer, Ken Wilber, says that the vast majority of religion is translative rather than transformative. It is concerned